Hi, Mike Jensen.
Hi, Vanya. How are you?
Ugh.
We're both having like scattered days, so this is going to be a fun, all over the place conversation.
Well, and I was going to say, I think it's going to be like all of my answers are complicated. So that's not interesting, but I'm just preparing you for that. You guys.
No, I like it.
This week has been kind of crazy. It's been so hot here, too.
Tell me.
Well, just in general, the heat and trying to maintain everybody's like emotional state and all of that. But the craziest thing happened last night. So we have a backyard. Amazing, right? God bless. That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
But we also have that cool swing set, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure it's been here. So the house was built in the 90s. It's probably been here since around that time. So my son and my daughter are like swinging and we always like listen to music and swing, and I push my son and my daughter's to the left of me swinging as high. She likes to scare me. She thinks it's funny. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
I don't know where she gets that attitude from.
It's so funny. It's true. I am the same. That is who I am. It's what I do. It's what I've always done. Cause I don't know. I'm a shock jock. What's wrong with me? Do I need too much attention? Well, at least I'm aware of it, right? They say that's the first step is like admitting it. Okay, so she's swinging like really, really high. And all of a sudden, and I'm trying to push my son high too. And I hear like a thud on the ground next to me. And she falls. And
gosh.
Yeah, no, the swing broke. The metal things, they just, the carabiner or whatever it is, it thinned out so... She swung so much that it like broke. And the truth is I mean, you know, she got the wind knocked out of her because she kind of fell like on her butt and back.
Yeah.
And then she was like holding her arm and like kind of freaking out and screaming. And I was like, oh, please, no broken bones. Oh, God. But in the end, she's okay. She was just really scared. And she got a little rug burn on her arm from one of the chains, or like a chain burn, I guess you could say.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was intense. And she thinks it's so funny now, thank God. But yeah, so it's just basically that's how our week has been. It's been great.
Gosh, do you remember, like, when was the last time? Can you recall a moment that you got the wind knocked out of you?
Yes, I can. It was when my niece, so it was like a long time ago. It was when my niece, who is now 18, was like just a baby. She was under a year old. And I fell down the stairs with her, holding her. So I created a bodily cocoon around her and landed on my back at the bottom of the stairs. And I was like, and she was happy as a clam because I kept her safe. But that's the last time I remember knocking the serious wind out of myself.
It's such a crazy sensation because you really have a moment where you're like, I'm never going to breathe again.
Did that happen?
Like, I'm never going to...
Did that happen when you got knocked by the bike?
No. Amazingly enough, it didn't. I was actually okay when that happened. Honestly, the last time that I remember getting the wind knocked out of me was I was really young. I was in, like, elementary school, I want to say. And it was a weird thing where, like, I was in the playground and I wanted... For some reason, I decided to, like, jump up and grab, like, the football... goal post,
which
of course is like really large. Like there's no way your hand can grasp that.
Yeah.
So like I jumped and basically just like hit it, which caused me to fall backward and I landed right on my back. You just have that moment of like, I'm never going to breathe again. Like I cannot take in air. We're not going to be at all specific with this, but you know what the story of you with your niece reminds me of, right?
Remind me. I don't know.
The time that I had, I think I had some friends over to watch the Golden Globes and we had a friend who had a good amount to drink and had her like little dog with her and she fell down the stairs in my building, like kept the dog above her head at all times. It was a strange like contortion of like falling down the stairs with a small pug and like keeping the dog safe.
Yeah.
So
yes,
that's just those natural instincts.
I recall that. I do.
Yeah, it's been a weird week here. Because of my schedule getting changed a little bit, today I work and it's going to be my 7th shift in 7 days.
Not cool.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm just working and watching TV, and that's so I'm going to recall my week by talking about a lot of television.
Okay, yeah.
Which will then lead into the thing that I'm going to save the two for the last for my what I'm digging. Other than the only other thing that's sort of broken up this week is that on multiple occasions I've gotten off work and of course everything is still kind of closing and I don't even necessarily want to go to like a restaurant after my shift by myself.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that, but for me I'm just kind of like I'd rather just go home. So I keep going. There's a food town you know it, that's on 145, like down the street from where I live.
Yeah.
And I've been going there at like 11 o'clock at night and getting late night food town grocery store sushi.
Ew.
And that's been like, I haven't gotten sick. I've been fine. It's actually
good.
It's pretty good sushi.
Thank God.
But I'm like, I should probably stop eating this at like 11:45 at night, you know, just like having late night grocery store sushi.
Oh my God.
I've been watching so much television because it's just the thing that I get home and it's just relaxing. I can just like sit there. So I wanted to talk about some of the things that I've been watching. I've been very slowly, and it's amazing that it took me this long to watch it, but I've been slowly watching the Real World reunion that is on, I think it's on Paramount Plus. Were you, what's your relationship to the Real World?
You know, I watched a little bit of it. I watched when it first came out. And then, of course, I watched the season that our friend was on. But, like, otherwise, I wasn't committed to anything. But, like, I was really busy while it was on. You know, I was doing lots of activities. So being home watching TV, I just wasn't. So, but I always liked it.
Yeah, I remember watching the first episode summer of 92, and I was actually in Atlanta visiting my family that lived there, that still lives there. And I remember like watching the first episode and being like, what is this? It's so weird. And like, it wasn't very well filmed. Like, it was very sort of like gritty and avant-garde, and being like, this is weird. Like, this is never going to become a thing. This is never going to last.
Right.
And then, of course, it was a huge hit that went on forever. And I was never a person that like watched it week to week. But I would get caught up in like marathons. Remember, they'd have like a Saturday where they would play the entire season. And that's sort of how I would watch it. And I feel like I watched like the first 9 seasons. And then I think that once I was too old to be on the show, I was like, I can't watch this anymore. Like once I knew that they were all younger than I was, I felt really weird watching it. But it was interesting watching that first, you know, because especially in that first season.
Yeah.
And this is such like a thing of a person of our age to say this, but there really wasn't anything like it before it happened. So I look at that first season and I think they had no idea what they were getting into. Like, they were honestly, I think from my understanding, is they were told it was like, we're going to get some burgeoning artists together just to like show what it's like to be an artist in New York. And it was interesting watching the reunion because for the most part, you know, that wasn't when you went on a reality show because you wanted to become famous. And certainly some of them achieved a certain amount of fame or notoriety for it. But none of them, that wasn't really anyone's goal. It doesn't seem in doing the show. So they're in general all fairly level-headed. There's a really unfortunate, is maybe the wrong word for it, but like one of the cast members, when they start talking about race, and she just can't, like, you literally see her unable to hear the conversation, and she actually ends up leaving the loft where they're staying and like won't be part of the conversation. And so I thought, anyway, it was very interesting. It's not that many episodes, and for those of us that like remember it, I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I want to. I won't.
It was definitely interesting. I enjoyed that they did it. There was part of me that thought, like, you don't want to wait one more year. Like, they did it for the 19th anniversary. Nope, they did it for the 29th. I'm much older than that. They did it for the 29th anniversary in the middle of a pandemic. And you are kind of like, maybe wait one more year and like do it when, you know, New York is open.
Right.
But it was still fascinating to watch.
Wow.
And then I also have been rewatching. I just finished rewatching the first season of Veronica Mars.
Yay. How is it on your second watch, or maybe more than second watch, your most recent watch?
It's only my second. Yeah. Did you watch it when it was actually on TV?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then I didn't watch it until the movie was announced, mostly because I thought it was so fascinating. Yeah. No, it was when they announced that the movie was going to happen that I thought, I'm a really big fan of closure.
Sure.
A really big fan of like giving something its voice. Like, I didn't watch Fringe until Fox announced that it was coming back for a 5th and final season. And I thought, well, that's really cool that, like, they're giving it a final season. So I watched the whole series and then watched the final season. Same thing with Veronica Mars. When they announced the movie, I was like, well, that's really cool. I want to, like, be part of that. So I watched the series fairly quickly. And then we went and saw the movie together down in sort of the Chelsea area. So rewatching it has been really, really fun. I think it really holds up. It's really, really interesting storytelling. I will completely admit, I could not remember So every episode has its little mystery. And then the first season and the second season have like an overall mystery. And I could not remember. I was like, I don't remember who killed her. Like, I honestly like watched the whole first season. Like, who did it? I don't remember at all. So that was kind of fun, too, just to like have that experience again.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was fun. One of the things that I kind of wanted to have as a dig in a few weeks ago, but I kept having other things that I wanted to talk about. Did you watch any of the series Shrill?
I did. I watched the first season, and actually I think we watched it in almost an entire night, and we haven't picked up the second season yet, but I loved the first season.
It's so good, and it's very short. The third and final season just finished recently, and you really can watch an entire season in one day. Mm-hmm. Like, they're short seasons and they're short episodes, and Adi Bryant just to me is like,
yeah,
joy.
For sure.
Like, I just love her energy. Is so like beautiful and joyous, and so super had a great time watching that final season. I also watched, I'm just, once again, this is my week encapsulated in television, because that's literally all that I've been doing. I and much of the world just finished the fourth season of A Handmaid's Tale. Did you watch any of that?
No, I did not, because I was very sensitive at the time. It was triggering for me. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's tough. And I will say, to those that didn't make it through the third season, because the third season is a little bit of a slog. I would almost just say, and this is not for you, I'm going to mention, this is one of two shows that I'm going to talk about that I'm not suggesting for you. but like, just watch the third season finale and then start the fourth season, because the fourth season is really good. I had mixed feelings about the finale, but in general, the storytelling was really, really strong, like great performances. I'm also almost done with the final season of Younger, which was, I think, a TV Land show.
That's a deep...
And it's now on one of the apps.
Yeah, that's a...
What's that?
I was just going to say, that's a deep cut for me, because I could not even find... I actually have a friend who was the makeup and hair person, or the hair. She did the hair on that show. She's amazing. But I could never find it.
Yeah, it's weird.
How do you watch it?
It was on TV Land, and now it's on... oh, gosh. Which of the apps is it on? On one of the apps.
Okay.
and you know, we'll talk about the apps too, because that's another thing that we talk about that I have mixed feelings on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've really enjoyed it. It's been an interesting final season, because I think COVID kind of forced them to change some things. Like, they just sort of like got rid of one character very, very quickly. Miriam Shore was like a major character in the first several seasons, and she's so good, and they've sort of had to like jettison her character. I think there were some COVID things going on. But then in other, like, at one point it looks like they're filming in a Dave and Buster's, and I'm like, did they actually film in Dave and Buster's during the pandemic? I'm very curious as to what logistics were. Also, Laura Benanti has become she's been a character on it for several seasons, and she's like a fairly major character in the final season, and I love her, so it's been really fun to like watch her.
She's so funny.
She's so good. And of course, Sutton Foster, and just a great cast in general. And then I will use that then to segue into the two things, into my official dig-ins, because I have two of them, and they are both television shows. One you should not watch, even though I want you to.
Okay.
And it's called Evil. Have you heard about this?
No,
I feel like I've maybe talked
this
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, tell me. I don't know.
So, all right. I have like so many IMDb pages open, because I'm like, I have so many TV things I want to talk about. So Evil was a CBS drama. It's a 10 episode first season. And then they also got waylaid by COVID. Oh, no. So it's actually 13 episode seasons. I didn't realize that. It's the Kings. It's Michelle King and Robert King. They're the ones that did like The Good Wife and The Good Fight currently. The only reason why I would want you to watch it, and once again, don't watch it, it's very scary, it's very, very dark.
Okay.
It's very about like the macabre, but the lead actress, Katja Ebers, I hope I'm saying her name right, she's so watchable. Like, just her, like the quality of her acting is like, I just love her so much. It's overall a really cool cast. Mike Coulter, who was a character on The Good Wife that it took me like a few episodes to not hate him, because I hated him so much on The Good Wife that I had to like switch my brain. Asif Manvi. So they play like a trio of, to different extent, like investigators that look into sort of paranormal activity in New York and like these crazy goings on, and oftentimes involves like an exorcism, or like, is this person evil, or are they just like a psychopath, and is there a difference between those two things? And Michael Emerson, who was on Lost, plays this sort of is he possessed by the devil? Is he in league with the devil? I actually randomly went to a play reading over a year ago that he was at, and I got to have like a short conversation with him about the series. Ooh. Which was really, really cool. And him sort of talking about how like the kings wake up and like look at the newspaper and look for weird things. And that was their idea of the series, was like, there are all these weird things that happen. What if we structure it as a storyline and kind of like, is this paranormal or is this just a crazy, crazy thing that happened?
Cool.
So I'm really enjoying it. I started the second season. Yeah, second season just started a couple days ago. So I watched the first episode. It was great. I also finished Hacks, just for the record.
Oh, yeah. Were you happy in the end or what do you think?
I was overall happy. I thought that the scene, I don't know what to say because I don't want to spoil anything.
Right.
But
yes.
The scene that where speeches start being given, I was incredibly moved by that. Like, yeah. I thought that the acting was so good and the writing was so good. It's funny how I don't know if I'd be a good television writer, because sometimes conflict really bums me out.
Sure.
So they drop in that like conflict at the very end where you're like, everything might be fine except for this one thing that happened. And I was like, no, why can't we just be friends and like deal with outward conflict? Yeah. So that kind of like bummed me out, but it's really good. And obviously it's going to get a second season. I feel like it's such quality material and everyone's talking about it. Yeah. So anyway, so that was a quick thing. The other thing that I am super, super digging, and it's brand new. The first two episodes just came out. AMC is doing this thing where AMC also has their app that you can pay to have. But here's what they're doing that I like, that it seems like this is what they're doing, is that all that it is that you get to see it like a week earlier and without commercials. You can still, on actual AMC, watch the programming a week later and deal with commercials. And that's kind of like, I'm sort of like fine with that. Yeah. I'm like, at least you can still see the content. There was a show that came out a few months ago called WandaVision that I don't know if it would be enjoyable for everyone because it's very in the Marvel universe. But it was unlike anything that I'd ever really seen on television before. I thought it was really like breaking a lot of boundaries in that vein. But I do think that it may be more easily accessible by the general public. Is a new show called Kevin Can F Himself. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have. I've been trying to watch it, but I'm like, I'm not getting another app. And I love her. She's from Schitt's Creek, and her name is
Annie Murphy.
Annie Murphy. God, I love her so much. And so I was really, really excited to follow and watch, but I was like, I don't know how to watch this.
So you don't have to have the app.
But I don't have AMC either.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to figure this out. Because here's the thing. It's hard to judge it because we're only two episodes in, and it's only going to be eight episodes for the first season, but it is truly unlike anything I've ever seen before.
Ooh.
It presents itself, I mean, it's so interesting. It presents itself as like an Everybody Loves Raymond, King of Queens kind of like multi-cam sitcom where everything gets a laugh and like every line is a joke and everything, even like the dark stuff is like, ha ha ha, we're gonna say it in a funny way. And then it like smash cuts into this character walking off of this set, and suddenly she's the same person, but she's in a drama and she's in like the reality of what's happening to this character, almost as though like this is what's happening when the camera isn't looking at her. And it's so fascinating. And it does this switch back and forth between this super stylized, everything's funny. Even the sets, I mean, I don't know if they built two separate sets, but like you have
probably
this living
lighting,
room where like you
can, a lot of lighting
probably, but some of it, like at one point you can sort of see like there's no ceiling in the living room. And then when it's a drama, there's a ceiling in the living room. Like we're in an actual space now. And it's just really, really interesting. And yeah, Annie Murphy is doing amazing work. Once again, to not get too spoilery, but it's this thing where it's like funny, like she's going to go and like do some research at the library. And then like at the library, there's like a dead body because someone has overdosed on opioids. Because that's a thing that's happening in real life, which gives her a funny idea. Like the way that they bridge these two worlds of like the funny, everything is very surface to like, no, like there's some deep, deep stuff happening here is really interesting. And I want to give a quick shout out to this actress, Mary Hollis Inboden, I think is how you say her name. She was on a show, a very short-lived show that I really liked called The Real O'Neills. And she plays like the wacky next door best friend on the sitcom, but then in the drama portions plays such a, like, a variation on that character, like plays the real version of who that character would actually be. Anyway, it's fascinating. We're going to have to find a way for you to watch it because it's so interesting. And once again, it's just, it's not like anything I've ever seen on television before, which I think is
great,
is incredible. So there you go. Evil, don't watch. Kevin Kenev himself, we'll have to find a way for you to watch it, but both really interesting. How about you? What are you digging this week?
Okay, so, you know, I talked a little bit last week about how we were preparing my daughter to go to theater camp.
Yeah.
And so she, that happened this week. So this is my two, I'm complicated today, guys. I'm very complicated. So on the one hand, I am so digging. So she had to prepare for an audition, which, you know, as a former actor and somebody who's done that a lot in my life, it was like, oh, I don't want her to, you know, like, I don't want her to ever feel bad. Because, you know, as a working or trying to be a working actor in, say, New York City, there's definitely a lot of, like, bad feelings in going to auditions sometimes. It's like competition. But see, the whole point of all this for her, for my daughter, is to have the joy that I also have had in an ensemble and learning and with like kids her own age. And anyways, so it was a little complicated. I was very excited for her. And she was like, memorize the lines and memorize the song, which is, you know, it's hard. And we worked with her a lot, you know, where I would stand in the back of the room so I could hear her, you know, sing. Because really, when you're little, the whole point is just make sure you can, so people can hear you. I mean, there's of course more technique that they're going to teach, but I was like, for an audition, just make sure they can hear you, you know, even if you're excited or nervous, just like yell it out. That's kind of like what I was, and I was like, okay, Amelia, before we go, let's try it with a mask on. Cause you guys are going to be wearing masks. Cause you know, we're still in the pandemic and anyone under 12 who's not vaccinated should be wearing a mask at the camps. And that's what the CDC recommends for day camps or any camps. Like if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. You have to wear a mask. That's how it is. Unless you pod, and that could happen in like sleepaway camps or something like that with other kids. But anyway, so we practiced with the mask and she was just so stinking cute. My heart just swelled with pride of like, she had fun. I mean, on one hand, I was like, well, maybe she'll go and hate it and never want to become an actor. So there's like maybe a good thing in that too. But I kid. But also, she really is finding so much joy. She's singing It's a Hard Knock Life. And we talked about like what certain things mean, you know, even about being an orphan and what she asked if they exist today. We talked a lot. It was just great to be doing something with her that was, I don't know, I think my daughter is pretty dang cool. She's a sweet kid and just a bright light. Okay, she's my kid, whatever. So my husband takes her, this is the other side of the coin, takes her on Monday and drops her off. And he had said the staff, the lady who owns the business or whatever, the director lady was like, is it okay, ask the parents, is it okay if the staff don't wear masks? And I guess most people except for one lady said that's fine. And I said, Adam, did she say she's vaccinated? Because if they're vaccinated, then I would be fine with that. He's like, she didn't say. I was like, okay. Well, I go to pick her up and maybe she and two other kids are wearing their masks. And there's about, you know, 10 kids in there. Here's the thing. Yes, there are 12 and ups. So maybe I could, if I'm being trustworthy, I trust that those people have vaccines, the 12-year-olds. But there were a couple younger ones who were 7 and her age who were not wearing masks at all. And I started to worry. I was, and my daughter did wear a mask. She's like, I wore a mask for most of the day, but sometimes I took it off. And I was like, okay, my head is exploding here. And I couldn't sleep all last night. And I wrote this letter to the director, basically just saying, hey, can you confirm that your staff is vaccinated? And you know, because I had to sign this crazy document, which makes sense, but it's a liability document for COVID. Like if we or a family member, if someone dies, it's not their fault, right? But it did say that this studio is taking safety precautions. Well, it doesn't seem that they are, in my opinion. And my daughter was so joyful when she got back and she was excited. And actually today is the day they're doing the singing portion. So I was really torn because my heart wants her to be happy. I want the world to be back to normal. But we have spent like an entire year and a half, you know, just being careful. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to mess that up. You know, my son has asthma. I don't know. And there's the variants. And it's just not, I almost cursed, Mike. It's just not recommended to, you know, it makes me upset. So when I signed her up, the, you know, LA wasn't open at all. Like, people had to wear masks. Even if you were vaccinated, it didn't matter. And I talked to, when I signed her up, I talked to this front office and they were, or whatever, the front desk. And they were like, yeah, no, we take, we do all the things. So this morning I go in and I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a conversation because she never responded to my email I had sent. And so my daughter and all the other kids are, and most of the kids have masks on except for two kids who look like they probably are older than 12. Fine. So she opens the door, the woman, and the kids start to go in, and she looks directly at me and she goes, bye, mommies. And I'm literally the only parent there. I'm like, okay. But I just sneak my head in because I wanted to see what the theater looks like. It's a lot bigger than I had expected. So I'm like, okay, so there is some space in there, because I did tell Amelia that when she auditions, she can have, if she feels like she's like 20 feet away from people, she can have the mask off. She is. She will be. And then they're filming it. So at the end of the thing, just to sing, you know, but for every other time, and also lunch, I guess she's going to have to take it off. Oh God, this is so stressful. So anyways, I kind of peek my head in and I was like, okay, well then all the kids go into the classroom and she's kind of going in. And I was like, maybe I'll just talk to the girl, the secretary girl, or, you know, front desk person. And I'm lingering. And then the main lady comes up and she's like, did you have a question? And I said, oh yeah, I had sent you an email. Did you get that? And she's like, oh, my emails are so, I know, I'm trying to keep up. But she goes, why are you upset? And I said, oh, well, you know, I just wanted to confirm that you're, that everyone who's not wearing a mask is vaccinated. And she said, well, I mean, I don't know about the kids. I go, well, obviously, if they're under 12, they're not vaccinated. Where, and this is when I get the eye buggy thing where I'm trying not to be scary, but I can't help it. All in all, I just switched gears in my head and I said, okay, well, my daughter knows that she's got to keep her mask on and whatever. And that's it. So my wonderful, this wonderful high we were having with this thing turned quickly into what I could do without. So
gotcha.
So I left this morning and, you know, after I dropped her off, and I'm just like praying that she doesn't get COVID. And then, you know, we are set to travel. So I'm going to get her a rapid COVID test after, you know, it's just, it's beyond stressful. And I just don't understand how a camp like that isn't taking it seriously, like, or even taking it, you know, what am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that if I was a business owner, especially with kids, I would say, hi, here's an email to the parents. Here's what we're doing to be safe. Because I had to sign a thing that said, say, you are taking some safety precautions. Here are the safety precautions we are taking. And just be fully straight up. All staff are vaccinated. Any student 12 and up vaccinated has the choice to not wear a mask. Anyone not vaccinated must wear a mask, because that's how it should be. But it seems to me they're just kind of like, well, I don't give a shit. Well, we're almost done. And then I was like, oh my God, did I sign my daughter up for some crazy, like, I don't know, religious thing, or, you know, whoever's on the spectrums, they're not getting, you know, I feel like the uber liberal crazy are not getting vaccinated. And then the uber, you know, conservative people aren't getting vaccinated. So it's like, oh shit, did I get her involved in something? But I've looked at all the reviews. Everything is legit. Everything, they only good reviews from this place. So it's like the first time where I'm like, do I Yelp, like lose my shit on Yelp? Well, we'll see. So sorry, I did my digging and my what I could do without in one. So I apologize, but ugh.
No, that makes sense.
I just feel sad and tired about worrying, you know, I'm just like, I'm shutting down.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I think that there's no way to be like, don't worry about it. And of course you should like be concerned and should make sure. I think it's just that thing of like, if at one point there was like a 1% chance and you're doing things to like cut that in half, we're now at like a 0.5%. Like, I think that the odds are,
oh, good,
in your favor, so to speak. But I totally understand also being stressed about it.
Yeah. You know? I just don't like it when people don't obey the rules. Yeah. Like, the CDC says this. Right. Like, why are you not obeying the rules?
It's my thing, like, when I see someone on the subway without a mask on, and I have to remind myself that, A, I'm vaccinated, so I guess that I'm fine no matter what.
Yeah.
B, I would only be in danger if you had COVID right now. But my point is, and I want to say this so often to people, you're not special.
Right.
You're not special. Like, you don't get to not wear a mask because you think you're special or because you think that it doesn't apply to you. Like, I just think that there's such a large amount of, like, people needing to be told, like, I don't know what you were taught And it's important to have self-worth, and it's important to have, like, a certain amount of ego.
Yeah.
But you're not special. Like you're part of this human race. We're all dealing with this together.
Yeah.
Be a human. Yeah, I totally understand.
It's going to be okay. Thank you for making me feel a little bit better about that, because I was just like, what if we kill someone? I mean, meaning like, I did say that to her. I said that to the lady. I was like, because I'd really hate to kill. We're going to see some family that are immune compromised, which is not true. I know I lied, whatever. But I was like, and I would really hate to kill them. I said that to her, and she kind of just looked at me. But also, I guess I just have to go back to just make me feel better.
Right.
Don't get defensive. Like, she was like, are you upset with something? You know, I'm like, just make me feel better. You don't know who I am. You don't know how much right. power I have. I have two podcasts I can say your name on.
You'll be nothing in this town.
Nothing.
Yeah, I feel you. Yeah, I have a little bit of that too. Just like the random people that think that the rules don't apply to them. That does get under my skin a bit.
So what is your, what could you do without Mike this week?
Pleasurable
week we've all been having.
Yeah, I feel like we've already talked about this, so I probably am repeating it, and we've talked about it on this. But yeah, it's the fact that I don't know how to tell you to watch Kevin Can F Himself. I need watching television to be less complicated. I need
100%.
It to be easier to find things.
Yeah.
So that's what I could do without. It's just like everything's so complicated.
Yeah.
And once again, we've had a bit of this conversation. And I'm not saying that everything has to be on Netflix. But like, I don't know. I wish that there were more symbiotic relationships between television and streaming, so that it's like, all right, well, you didn't see it this way, but you will eventually be able to see it this way. And I feel like we're so moving away from that. So
agreed.
Just putting that out there again. I want things to be easier to find. That's all.
I agree. Ooh, guess what, everyone? I get to do the topic this week.
Vanya's choosing the topic.
Okay, so
what is our topic?
Okay, I'm a little bit of, I guess, a dirty bird, but I just thought, I was thinking about this the other day because I just recently watched a film that I saw when I was very young, okay, but I'm going to talk about it. So my question is, or our topic today is, what was the first sex scene you remember seeing in a movie? So you start.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine this was the actual first, like, I'm sure that I saw something somewhere before this, but this was the one that sprang to mind. And it sprang to mind partly because of what I think it says about certain early experiences of watching perhaps mature film or television.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, like, don't worry about what your kids watch. Like, obviously you have to have some control over that. I always go back to the fact that, like, we get so worried about, like, kids watching certain things, but, like,
yeah,
every Disney character had a dead parent.
Right.
And, like, we're all basically fine, you know? Or maybe we're not. Maybe that's why we're all messed up. Yeah. Like, maybe Disney ruined us all. But the scene that came to mind, and don't watch this because it's Woody Allen and gross, blah, but it's not a Woody Allen film, but he and Bette Midler are in this movie from, I think it's like 1991, called Scenes from a Mall. And I remember almost nothing about this movie other than it's like an hour and a half and it all takes place in a mall. But there's a scene, I think I'm remembering this correctly. Once again, it was a long time ago. There's a scene where they, I believe, go to a movie, and I think that he goes downtown, put it that way.
Okay.
But I remember not having any idea what was happening. I remember watching it being like, because they don't show anything explicit.
Right.
He just kind of like disappears, and then she makes a happy face. And I remember being like, what is happening? Like, what on earth? Like, I just had no idea what could possibly be going on. And so that's what comes to mind, because I just think about so often, I feel like you just have no idea what you're watching when you're younger.
It's true.
That you then later on watch and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what that was. So that's the one that sprung to mind. What about you? What was the first one that you think of?
Okay, so my parents didn't let us watch rated R or anything, and we didn't have HBO. My cousins did, though. My cousins did, and I would spend the night at their house once a week almost, you know. And I mean, their parents are my godparents, and I love, you know, my cousin Tamar was like my best friend. Anyways, I remember they didn't really care what you watched. Like, I think they were more so don't watch violence, but anything that was like within love, they didn't get. They just didn't care. We just would go downstairs and watch whatever the heck we wanted. Well, there was a show that was on. I feel like we watched it definitely more than three times, but it was called Once Bitten. And I mean, I was really young. So yeah. I was like, we're talking really young. So I don't know if it was, hopefully it was like something that had come out because it came out in 1985.
Yeah, no, definitely. Is that Lauren Hutton, the vampire movie?
Yep. Lauren Hutton, Jim Carrey's in it.
100%. Yes, definitely watched this when I was young.
Okay. And so it like sort of the whole premise is this guy, Jim Carrey's character, Mark Kendall, just wants to get laid, and it's a whole weird like virgin type, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the girl who's played by Karen Coppins, the one who's not putting out, is like, I just am not ready yet, okay, Mark. And so him and like a group of his friends, which the acting is just schmacting all over the place. Although Lauren Hutton was great, it's a weird movie because it's like campy. But then Lauren Hutton is just not campy. I don't know.
Right.
And Lauren Hutton plays the vampire. And there's a whole thing with like she has to, you know, drink from the blood of a virgin. And Jim Carrey is the one that blah, blah, blah. But it starts, the film starts out where they're like Jim Carrey character and his girlfriend are parked. And everyone around them, every single car around them is shaking because people are having sex. And there's like, and I watched it. We just recently watched it because I want to say it was on Prime for free. And there's one scene where you see a car and somebody's legs are sticking out. And it's almost like their butt was right up at the, like there would, that would be no, that not, it doesn't even make sense to have sex. So all of this sex is implied, but I just remember being like, oh my God. And it's problematic. There's like a scene in the showers where they use the F word, and it's horribly upsetting. Anyways, so that was like the first thing I remember. I also remember, and again, I think it was all implied, but my cousin and I loved watching The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Dolly Parton. And it's a musical about, you know, women sex workers in Texas.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I just thought it was like a funny, you know what else I watched really young is Rocky Horror Picture Show. And there's the scene where, you know, the main person is having sex with both the characters at some point. And I just remember kind of going, what is that? It's all in like silhouette. And I'm like, I don't quite understand, but I like it. I don't know. But yeah, that was me.
That's really funny. I definitely remember Once Bitten. I remember watching that. I remember the scene that you're talking about because I didn't know what it meant at the time also.
Like, what are they doing? Why is their legs out of the...
Yeah. You know that I've still never in any form seen Rocky Horror? Like, I've never seen musical. I've never seen the film. Yeah, I've never seen it in any form. One of these days, I guess I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, I'll watch it with you. I love it. It's, you know, it was something we actually had... My cousins had the VHS and we would just watch it so much. Again, not really understanding. And honestly, some of it is completely nonsensical.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's very fringe. But I love that movie. Still, I'll watch it with you, Mike. I love you.
Do you have anything random for us this week?
Oh, yeah. Because actually, there's one thing I didn't tell you about my week. We're babysitting a dog, Mike. And
How's that going?
It's fine, actually. She's the most sweet. She's like a little chihuahua. She's older. She's great with the kids.
Uh-huh.
It's been great. She's a great dog. Her owners were like, we will feed them, you know, the dog people food every once in a while, but mostly she just eats her own. And of course, you know, things fall on the floor, whatever. I didn't think about it. Okay, so I want to preface with, I got a list of a couple things that dogs should never eat because it could kill them.
Uh-huh.
To say. Obviously, we know chocolate is not good for dogs. That could really hurt them.
Right.
Guess what what else dogs can't have? Garlic.
Oh.
Garlic is like really, really bad for them. And so I gave her a plate of broccoli with garlic because the kids didn't want it and whatever. And I looked it up and I was like, I had, you know, when you get cold around your temples, like the creeping panic attack, I was like, oh my God, am I going to kill these people's dog? She's fine. By the way, the dog is fine. That was 5 days ago, but, and they're coming back like tomorrow, but so garlic. And another one that my very sweet dear friend Avrin, who has a dog, said grapes are toxic to dogs too. So those are my fun facts.
Oh, weird.
Or my, you know, my hacks.
Those are some good facts to know. I had no idea.
Stressful.
Yeah. Are your kids loving having a dog around?
They are, but because I'm making them pick up the poop because I refuse.
Uh-huh.
Because the rule is, since I'm still wiping butts in this house, I refuse to pick a dog's poop up. And my daughter is like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, well, do you want a dog someday or not? Yeah, but. So it's going fine. They love every aspect except for picking the poop up.
All right. That makes sense.
Any random facts from you?
So my random isn't so much a fact as it's a strange sequence of thoughts that starts with sad and then brings us hopefully to a happier place. I don't think that she listens to this, so she won't hear this. But my dear, dear friend, one of my oldest friends, I think I've known her longer than I've known you. Mm. My friend Kara Lee, her father passed away yesterday.
Oh.
And she reached out. We didn't really get to talk because, of course, when something like that happens, there's so much that then that you have to take care of. So we haven't been able to talk yet. But, you know, she sent me a text partly just to let me know, but partly also because, you know, like my father passed away several years ago. Yeah. And so she kind of was like, I know that you'll understand. And so I'm just feeling a lot of love and care for her. And I'm hoping that I get to see her. You know, we're both going to be in the Tri-Cities fairly soon. At the same time for a little bit. So I'm hoping that we'll get to see each other, and I hope I get to see her then. But I was just, you know, thinking love thoughts for her, and it's not really related, but I was listening to a podcast today, Samantha Bee, who I've talked about and how much I love her. And she talks about those people that you have shorthand with that, like, you kind of just like get it, like you get each other.
Yes.
And I was just, we've talked about this before, that like, I'm so grateful to have that with you. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful to have that with someone. And I'm so grateful that it's you, that we just, we work so well together because we totally get how the other person thinks.
Totally.
And it's so many times that I've just seen a look on your face where I'm like, oh, this needs to happen now. And I know vice versa, you know?
Well, actually, you know what's so funny, Mike? I was just telling, I was talking to my husband about traveling, and he was talking about our travel plans that we have coming up. And I was like, oh no, we have our shit down when we travel. We are the best travel companions there are. Just, you know, I'm like, you don't even get it, my love. But Mike and I, it's like we know how to do it right. We know, we make sure we eat on time. I mean, it's so good. It is a shorthand, and you're so, I mean, that's just one aspect of it, but I was laughing at him.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah.
Aww. So there you go. Wanted to end with love and how much I love you and how much, and I love my friend Kara, and I hope that she's, you know, I know that it's so hard. And the one thing that I said to her is that he will always, always, always be your dad.
Yeah.
That even if he's not here anymore, he's always going to be your dad.
And I love that.
So there you go. I wanted to end with love and end with how much I love you. And
I love you too.
We say it all the time, but I'm so grateful that we get to do this. And thank you to everyone for listening. Yep.
Thanks, guys.
And everyone, take care of yourself. It's tough out there. So be good to yourself and be responsible.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex and the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. Okay, I am recording.
Yes.
Santa Claus, what's that?
Who's he?